Now then, get your Bible and open it to Luke 18, the 18th chapter of Luke. I'm going to speak to you today on this subject, the most deadly sin of all sins. Now that ought to be interesting, and I know what I'm talking about. There's no guesswork or speculation involved at all in this message. The most deadly sin of all. The most deadly, soul-destroying, destructive sin of all. Now, let me read a familiar scripture. You familiar with this? It's found in Luke 18, beginning with verse 9. Now, listen carefully. And the Lord Jesus spake this parable unto certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. He said, two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee, the religious man, stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. They are extortioners, they're unjust, they're adulterers. And I'm not like them. And I'm not even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, the other man, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, the Lord Jesus continued, this publican who prayed, God be merciful to me, the sinner, went down to his house justified, saved, mind you, pardoned, clear of sin, justified before God, rather than the other. But not the Pharisee. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now, why don't you just hold your Bible there if you have it open, and let's look back at this verse 9 again now. If words can mean anything at all, it's quite evident to whom the Lord is speaking. In fact, it tells us the people to whom he spake this parable. It says plainly there. Can you read these words? He spake this parable to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, that they were holy, that they were good. They were not sinners like others. They had no need of righteousness. They were good people. Moral people, religious people, people who served God, holy people. That's what they said. They justified themselves. This man who represented them, in fact, our Lord speaking this parable to these who justify themselves, who felt that they needed no righteousness, he gives them their champion. He says, here's one like you. He went to the temple and justified himself. He said, I'm not like other men. I'm not like other men. Other people are sinners. They're extortioners, mean, evil, unjust people, adulterers. Well, I'm not like them. And they justify themselves before God. Listen to what their champion said here. He said, I thank God I'm not like other people. I thank God I'm not like other people. He brings God into his self-righteous conspiracy. And then he starts comparing himself with others. And here's how he arrived at this morality and self-righteousness and holiness. He arrived at it by comparing himself, not with God, but with the fellow man. He said, I'm not like that publican. I'm not like that publican. Paul said something about comparing ourselves with ourselves. He said, that's not wise. And then our Lord said something about, you're they who justify yourselves before men. But God looks at your heart. And that which is highly esteemed among your fellow man is an abomination to God Almighty. Tell you something else about these people. They justify themselves, even justify themselves before God, comparing themselves with themselves, and they despise others whom they think are not as good as they are. Now, you see this around you all the time in the church to which you go. You've never met a moral, self-righteous, so-called holy person who was not critical, supercritical, of the lifestyle, conduct, and conversation of other people. All self-righteous, holier-than-thou, moral people enjoy pointing out the weaknesses of others. They delight in finding fault. They delight in gossip. No man is ever quick to criticize, judge, or condemn another unless he has a very high opinion of himself. That's the pinnacle from which he sits in judgment. That's the high and lofty place from which he looks down on others. He's holier than thou. And our Lord spake this parable to those people. He said he spake this parable to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. They were self-righteous. They trusted in their works. They trusted in themselves. They trusted in their religion. And they despised others. And I'm here to tell you, my friend, I'm here to tell you, there's no sin. I don't care what it is. There's no sin so deadly, so dangerous, so soul-destroying as self-righteousness. Did you know that? And I'll tell you why. There are three or four reasons. Number one, the Word of God plainly says there's none righteous, no, not one. Then why do people claim to be righteous? Because they don't believe God's Word. God's Word plainly says there's none good, no, not one. Not one. The scripture in Psalm 14 says this, said the Lord God looked down from heaven to see if there was any that did do good. And he said, there's none good. They're all gone out of the way. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. Then why do we keep talking about how good people are, how good our children are, and how good our mothers are, and how good our fathers are, and how good our preachers are, how good we are? There's none good. God good, good in God's sight, none good but God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isn't that what Scripture says? Oh, you. Well, I'm not a sinner. Then what are you? In this thing of goodness, there's only God and sinners. Are you God? In this thing of righteousness, there's nothing but God and unrighteousness. Anything that's not God is unrighteous. Only God is good. Only God is holy. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. And yet, you just can't shake them loose from it. Men look to their outward deeds, their outward works, their outward morality, their outward veneer of religion, and they call themselves good. They even claim to have a holiness. They even, some denominations call themselves the holiness people. Now, you think about that. That's what these old Israelites did over in Romans 10. Listen to it. Paul said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I bear them record. They have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. For they're ignorant of God's righteousness, and they're going about to establish a righteousness of their own, not knowing that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So this thing of self-righteousness, I'll tell you this, I'd much rather be charged before God with murder than self-righteousness. God has saved some murderers. God has forgiven that sin many times over. But no self-righteous man has ever entered the kingdom of heaven and never will. Christ has got to be our righteousness. That's the robe of righteousness. That's the wedding garment. To enter heaven, one must be as good as God. And there's only one place to be as good as God, and that's in Christ. To enter glory, a man's got to have a holiness that's as holy as God. And there's only one place for that holiness to be found. It's not at an altar. It's not at a law. It's not from a church standard. It's not from rules declared from the pulpit. It's in Christ Jesus. He is our sanctification and our righteousness and our holiness. And he perfectly worked it out by obeying the law in the flesh as a man and imputed to those who believe that perfect righteousness. And I'll tell you this, listen to me. There's no sin so deadly and so dangerous and soul-destroying as self-righteousness. And you may be sitting there thinking how good you are. Thank God I'm not like those people out there in the West Virginia coal mines and hills and the Kentucky foothills and the Appalachians and down there in Lexington and Charleston. I'm not like those extortioners and unjust people and all those old mean adulterers running around everywhere. I'm good. I go to church and I tithe and I sing in the choir and I teach Sunday school and I mind my own business and pay my bills. I'm good. You're going to hell, my friend. Because God's looking at your heart and he doesn't see any goodness in there. Most of our deeds are self-righteous deeds. Let me tell you something. Of all the sins encountered by our Lord when he walked this earth, and he encountered a lot of them, publicans and harlots and drunkards and sinners and all kind of wicked sin, he encountered a lot of sins, but do you know the people? Now you hold your seat now a minute. I may shock you. Do you know the people for whom our Lord had the harshest words? The harshest words. I mean the sharpest words. It was the self-righteous, moral, holy, religious people. You read Matthew 23. That's exactly right. Listen to him. Woe unto you, scribes. These are the fellows that translated and transcribed the Bible. Woe unto you, Pharisees. These were the men who taught in the temple. This fellow standing in the temple, he's one of these Pharisees. Saul of Tarsus said, I was a Pharisee and I was blameless before the law. Moral, good, righteous, religious, holy, strict, straight theologians. He said, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. You do your works to be seen of men. Can that be said of you? You do your religious works, your preaching, teaching, tithing, giving, going, witnessing, praying, long prayers on the street corner to be seen of men. How much private praying do you do? He said, you Pharisees, you love to be called rabbis. You love to be called master. You love to be called reverend and doctor. You like to sit in the chief seats. You like the officers down at the church. Give me an office. Give me a title. Call no man rabbi. One is your master. Call no man father. Your father's in heaven. Your brethren. And he that would be greatest among you, let him be your servant. He said, you Pharisees make long prayers and you make proselytes to your religion. You win souls to your ritual and your religion and your denomination so you can brag about how many decisions you've had. You pay your tithes. You strain in a gnat and swallow a camel. You make clean the outside of the cup. You quit drinking and dancing and playing cards and going to the show and watching television and all these things on the outside. But on the inside, you're full of extortion and excess and dead men's bones, rottenness to the core. And then our Lord looked at him and said this. He never said that to the woman at the well who had been married 5 times. He never said that to the woman found in adultery, cast at his feet. He never said that to Zacchaeus, the little cheat and fraud and tax collector who climbed up the tree. He never said that to the blind Bartimaeus. He said that to the good, religious, self-righteous people. And when he got through with them, he said, you generation of snakes, how can you escape the damnation of hell? And my friends, this is the prevalent, deadly sin of our day. Multitudes of church people, multitudes, more than you can number. Old grannies out there everywhere, and daddies and mamas and young people got their hair a certain length and their clothes are black and their rituals and regulations and rules and standards all set. They're right and everybody's wrong. They're good, they're moral, they're righteous, they're holy people before God. They're establishing a righteousness and earning a reward. He's gone to his reward. You'll hear him say that. They read the Bible. They go to church every Sunday. They sing in the choir. They teach Sunday school. They pay their tithes. They live moral lives. And when they die, the preacher says, he's gone to be with the Lord. It's heartbreaking. I tell you, men who've never been lost claim to be saved. Men have been lifted up who've never been brought down. Men are saved who've never been lost. They're raised to life who've never been dead. They're exalted who've never been humbled. My friends, according to the Bible, I've been looking into it a long time. 61 years old. I've been preaching for 30 some odd years, almost 40. And according to the scripture, salvation's for sinners. It says this is a faithful saying. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Is there a sinner out there? I haven't seen one in a long time. Where are the sinners? Where are these people? The angel said to Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus. He'll save his people from their sins. I don't know of anybody that's got any. They're all good people in Ashland. Luke 19:10 says, the Son of Man's come to seek and to save the lost. He's come to seek and to save lost people. You got any lost people up your way? You got a lot of good, moral, self-righteous church members. You got any lost people? Listen to Romans 5. Christ died for the ungodly. He died for whom? The ungodly. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 1:8 says, if any man says he has no sin, he's a liar and the truth's not in him. Any man say he hath not sinned, he makes God a liar. One day our Lord was eating with a group of publicans and sinners. And these religious church folks, synagogue people, were Pharisees, were standing back, and they saw him eating with the sinners and talking to them. And they said to the disciples, why does your master eat with publicans and sinners? Why isn't he up here eating with us good people, righteous people? He's down there eating with those sinners. And the Lord heard them, knew their thoughts, and he said, the well have no need of a doctor, but they that are sick. Go learn what this means. I am come to call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance. But I ask, where are these sinners? It's hard to find a sinner. A sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost hath made him so. And yet my Lord came to save sinners. Listen to the parable. Our Lord spake this parable to these moral, holy, good, self-righteous people. And he said this, listen to him. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a moral, righteous, holy Pharisee. The other was a publican, a sinner. Contrast is great. Ask a Jew who was the most moral man. He said, Pharisee. Ask him who's the most immoral man. He said, publican. But both of them believed in one God. Both of them were sons of Adam. Both of them went to church, and both of them prayed. They had some things in common. But this is where the comparison is different. They approach God in an entirely different manner. The Pharisee. Now listen to him. Here's the moral religious man. And I can hear it today. He made his way to the front of the tabernacle, the temple. He was familiar with the temple. He was familiar with the worship. He was familiar with all these things, and he felt like he belonged right down there. The publican, the scripture says, stood afar off, way back, unworthy. Like Israel of old, he was putting some distance between him and Sinai. Room, one old writer said, for a mediator. And then the Pharisee lifted his arms. That was a custom, a ritual, even back then. He felt moral, he felt holy, he felt good, so he lifted his arms to heaven. The publican would not so much as lift even his eyes. He wouldn't lift his arms or even his eyes to heaven. He didn't let his eyes wall back in his head like some self-righteous person, you know, trying to look religious. Oh, he just bowed his head and smote on his breast. And smote on his breast. That's where the trouble was, see. He had heart trouble. Heart was desperately wicked. Stony heart, double heart, evil heart. And the Pharisee prayed with himself. It wasn't a prayer at all. It was a self-centered ritual. That's all. Just words, words, old rehearsed, dead, cold words, talking to himself. God didn't hear him. God didn't hear him. He didn't pray. He talked to himself. But that publican prayed. He cried to God. Oh, how he cried to God. And that Pharisee talked about the trivial matters. He talked about himself. He said, oh God, I am not like other men. And I thank you I'm not like other men. Oh, I'm glad I'm not like other people. Why, he said, I fast as he waved his arms in the sky. And I tithe and I give alms to the poor. I'm not like that publican. You know what Isaiah called all that? Filthy rags. Isaiah the prophet said, our righteousnesses are filthy rags. This Pharisee, this holier-than-thou moral religious man came before God with his filthy rags, his dripping, dirty, filthy rags, and waved them in God's face. I tell you, waved them in God's face. You know what Paul called it? Dung. Paul named all these things he had done, his fasting, praying, giving, going. He said, I count it but dung that I may win Christ. And this publican, broken over sin, he had nothing to do with such second-rate, self-righteous, filthy rags. He talked to God about the two most important things between God and a sinner. You know what they are? He talked to God about the two most important things between God and a sinner. You know what he talked about? He talked about sin, his sin, and God's mercy. I just love to close this book and let her go right there. He talked about his sin and God's mercy. And God heard him. And God heard him. He went straight to God. He didn't go to the bishop. He didn't go to priest. He didn't go to preacher. He didn't put a call into the counselors up yonder at some TV studio. He went to God. That's a pretty good place to go if you need help. You better sidetrack some of these folks that are playing God and go straight to him. He went straight to God with his head bowed and his smiting on his breast, and he cried, oh God, oh God. And he cried for mercy. He said, be merciful. Be merciful. I'm not asking for justice. I'm not asking for a reward. I'm asking for mercy because I'm guilty. And you better listen to me. When a man's soul is at stake, it's sure good sense to listen, especially when the Lord Jesus is talking. And that's who's speaking in this parable. He cried for mercy. Let thy blood be propitiation for me on the mercy seat. That's what he's saying. Ask anybody that knows anything about the Bible. He confessed his sins like David in Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God. Listen to David, the man after God's own heart. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is before me. That's the way this man prayed. Can you see today's religion in these two men? I see a whole lot of today's religion in one of them. I wish I could see more of the other. I see the Pharisee and the holier than thou and the self-righteous and the good and the folks earning God's acceptance. I don't see many sinners. I don't hear many sinners. I don't hear many people crying for mercy. I don't hear many people suing the throne of grace for forgiveness and mercy and grace in time of need. Grace is for the guilty. Mercy is for the miserable. Salvation is for sinners. Well, these two men left church. One of them came in rich in his own works, and he left poor toward God. He came in confident. He came in full of self-esteem and self-righteousness, and he went out rejected. The other one came in empty. He went out full. Came in a sinner and went out forgiven. He came in poor and he went out rich. He came in lost and he went out saved. Because my God is plenteous in mercy, and my God delights to save. You see, my friend, the Pharisee justified himself, and God condemned him. And the publican, the sinner, he justified God and condemned himself, and God justified him. Whosoever confesseth his sin shall find mercy. Whoso covereth his sin shall not prosper. The most deadly sin of all, self-righteousness. Now, I have two messages on this cassette tape. One of them, the Lord's table, an important message. And the one I just brought on the most deadly sin of all. Be good to hear it again, because it is deadly. And I'll tell you, it's subtle. Send $2, we'll mail you this tape. Until next week, God bless you.